This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not dispense medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified health providers if you have any questions regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking such advice because of something you have heard on this podcast. Welcome to a podcast that we call Prostate Cancer Real Talk. Did you know that in the U.S., one out of every eight men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer during his lifetime? One out of eight. And black men are 50% more likely to develop prostate cancer in their lifetime and twice as likely to die from the disease. But we're not here to quote statistics and tell you how tough prostate cancer can be. Rather, we're here to create a supportive community of survivors, a place where we can discuss the real-life coping methods from the perspective of a married couple who are living through it day by day. My name is Dennis, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to Shay and Elle, a real-life married couple who will take us inside of the relationship that lives on the inside of a prostate cancer diagnosis. This is Prostate Cancer Real Talk, Episode 1, Getting to Know the Show. Elle and Shay, take it away.
It's great to be with you guys today, and thank you so much for tuning in to hear our show about prostate cancer real talk. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the show, I just want to quickly share my personal story with you to give you some background on why we're doing this. I am an ex-athlete. I work out regularly. I eat properly, not perfectly, but properly. You know, I was never of the mind that something like this would come into my life and affect me the way that it did. Like you could imagine, it kind of came out of the clear blue sky, and it hit me pretty hard. And so the story has a good ending. I'll give you a spoiler alert. This is a good story. It's a positive story, but it's something that we think is important to share with others. And so I'd like to give you an opportunity to look inside of a married couple's relationship, what happens when you get that diagnosis, and some of the things that the doctor and the nurse does not tell you about the relationship, about the effects of the disease, and what happens to your real life, everyday activities and whatnot that go on with that. So that's just a little bit background from my perspective. I'm going to introduce you to my wife, Shay. This podcast was actually her idea. It took me a minute to decide whether I was going to come out and go public with this, but we think that we can offer some great information to you that you might find helpful. So Shay, I'm going to kick it to you and let you talk a little bit about this idea and why we're doing this.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As Elle mentioned, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was a shocker, and I just had so many questions as the wife, because I know that my husband was getting his prostate exams regularly, like every 6 months, as the doctor, you know, told him to. And he always came back with such, you know, positive results. It was never, his PSA level was never elevated, and it was always such a great report. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he has a PSA level that was slightly elevated. It was very not normal for that to happen to him. And so thank God for his doctor that said, well, you know what? All of a sudden it's elevated. We should probably do more testing. And they did. And the test showed that there could be something there. And then it was recommended that he do a biopsy. And of course, we were extremely nervous. You know, as a wife, I had no clue what to expect. The biopsy was done, and the doctor called us in and said, sure enough, it's cancer. That is just the word you do not want to hear. And it was a journey. It was a journey. As a wife, I was calm, but, you know, because I didn't want to make my husband nervous. But as Elle said, the story has a really great happy ending, but it was just so much that we didn't know, so many things that the doctors didn't tell us. And so because it is a good ending story, we thought we, you know, should create a podcast, a community that we could share our experience and perhaps give you advice and some things that you, if you're going through this, your loved one is going through this, some advice on things that they should expect. Because the doctors, they just don't tell you everything. You know, the doctors are good and they give you the advice on what road you should take or what route you should go in terms of treatment. But there is so much more in between that you should know. And that's why we're here, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we can help.
Okay, Shay, thank you so much for that great introduction. So I'm going to pick it up by expounding upon one of the points that you made, and that is how you can deal with this situation on a day-to-day basis and some of the practical things that happen to you after surgery, for example. If you had surgery like I did, what happens next? Well, one of the things that happens is that, you know, there's a transformation to your social life. You can't just pick up and go out to dinner or pick up and go to church or pick up and go to visit friends anymore. You have to prepare because, you know, when you come out of the surgery, this is real talk and we're talking about real issues. But when you come out of that surgery, you should know that you're going to be wearing a catheter. And a catheter is a device that handles your urine flow. And, you know, you need to plan for that. There's a couple of different devices that you're going to have to wear initially when you come out of the surgery. And for the most part, what I did was I kind of stayed around my house with that first device that I had to wear. For the first week and a half or so, I didn't go out very much. And then, you know, you kind of graduate to a lesser device that you need to wear. And it's a little bit more socially pliable. You know, you can deal with it a little bit more socially. But those are some of the things that the doctor doesn't necessarily get into the details of. And, you know, we can talk about those things. So with that, Shay, I'm going to kick it back to you and see, you know, from your perspective, what are some of the things that you feel are impacted by this surgery?
I was thinking about, as you were talking, the actual surgery day, you know, that, you know, you're waiting, you get there and you're waiting and your surgery was long. I mean, you were in surgery for 5 hours and I was just pacing and waiting and waiting. And so I finally got the call that said the surgery was successful and that you did extremely well. And it was such a relief. But, you know, I don't know that I anticipated you being in surgery for 5 hours. So it's just things that, you know, the doctors, they're very confident in their skills and they've done this so many times. And it's just the little things that they are not thinking of telling you. And you have to kind of be proactive and ask questions like, how long is the surgery? It was 5 hours was a long time, but you made it through and you were in a tremendous amount of pain after the surgery. So these are things that, you know, prepare for if you're a guy that's listening and perhaps is, you know, preparing yourself for surgery, you know, you're going to be able to somewhat of some pain when you come out. But of course, they do have medicine that will take care of that. But it was a journey. And afterwards, as Elle mentioned, you know, coming home, you know, you're just kind of watching television for a while. You're not as mobile as you would like to be. You do have that device. And there, you know, it's a process. You got to think about the clothes that you wear, you know. So there's a lot that goes on with it. But you can, you know, get through it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Some of the things that the doctor, when you're just going through talking to the doctors in preparation for the surgery, one of the things that I never forget it, that he mentioned to Elle, you know, when we decided the option that we were going to take, and he said, oh, you know, you're going to, you know, after you get home and after surgery, once you leave, you know, we're going to give you a pad. And Elle and I both looked at each other and we said, a pad? And he said, oh yeah, there's going to be leakage. And we're like, leakage? And he said, yes, there's going to be leakage after the surgery. And once you get home, you're going to need to wear the pins. And for the guys, I know there's a lot of guys that are looking. We were like, the pins? The pins? So yes, guys, you are going to have to wear the pins. It's not, you know, everyone is different. It you know, can be a couple weeks or it can be several months, but prepare yourself. You are going to have to wear the pins because there will be leakage.
Yeah. And thank you, Shay, for those great details. you know, when you talked about the length of the surgery and whatnot, we did something that people might want to consider doing if you're going in for surgery. Who wants to sit around in the hospital for 5.5 hours? So what we did was we actually rented a hotel room near the right across the street from the hospital. So just kind of like an insider piece of information for the wives and the significant others who are family members and whatnot who are accompanying the person for surgery. You might want to think about getting a hotel room. Because you're going to be waiting for some number of hours. And then, you know, we live probably an hour away from the hospital. And so that way you don't have to worry about journeying back the next day. The other thing, too, that Shay mentioned, it came to my mind when she said, we're going to consider our options. And while we will have my actual surgeon on, in the future that talks about the details and the choices that you make, I'll just say something at a very high level right now. And that is when I received my diagnosis, you know, the question was, okay, what do we do? How do we deal with this? What are the treatment options? And, you know, there were two options. One was surgery and the other was, radiation or chemotherapy. And one of the things that you need to consider, guys and ladies, are if in fact you do decide to go with radiation, okay, once you do radiation, then surgery is off the table forever. If you decide to do radiation, once they do that, you can no longer move to surgery in the future. And so what our choice was to just go with the surgery. When I say surgery, I mean actually having the prostate removed, which causes some of the leakage issues that Shay was talking about. But we decided to go with the surgery and just have it removed because we didn't want any future issues to arise. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, no future issues will arise, but it's less likely that the disease will resurface. Shay, could you talk a little bit about the what the doctor told you?
Oh, sure. So anyone that has had a loved one in surgery, you know that once the surgery is over, the doctors, they come out and they, you know, tell you that the surgery went well or give you the update of the surgery and how the patient is doing. So your prostate, you know, was kind of impacted a little bit. So the surgery, that was part of the reason that it took longer. But he, you know, said, hey, he did really, really well. And we were able to get all of the cancer out. So his cancer was localized in that area of the prostate. So they were able to successfully remove all the cancer. And so he had a really great, outstanding results. So we were really blessed and pleased. And I think that's a part of why we really want to do this podcast, because it's just not, you know, the end of the world. You know, no one wants to hear the cancer word. You don't want to hear, oh my God, the big C. But, you know, there are really great surgeons out. And if you really listen to the doctors and, you know, do what they tell you and just with your family make a good decision, the outcome can be really, you know, a really great outcome. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Shay, because, you know, when I think about, you know, our lives right now, day to day, I won't say that there's zero impact because, you know, I still do have a few things that I have to do that are special. For the most part, I mean, it's not this gloom and doom scenario. And one of the things that I found somewhat surprising is that when I did begin to talk about this to select people, and that's another part of the whole discussion here. It's like, you know, am I going to tell people? Am I going to, who in my family am I going to tell? Which one of my friends am I going to tell? You know, is this something that I want to make public and what have you? But, you know, one of the things that I found out was that the more I talked about it, the more I found out that there were a lot of guys that I knew who were dealing with this, you know, and, you know, we really had some really great discussions about it. And to be honest with you, you know, when I started talking about some of my social issues, you can laugh about some things. And I'll give you an example. I call my wife my wingman, okay? What do I mean by a wingman, okay? Well, she mentioned that you have to wear Depends. Guys, could you fit a Depends in your pocket? No, but she could fit it in her purse, okay? So when we go out to dinner or we go out somewhere socially, she's my wingman. One of the things we do, we check in. It's like, I'm going out the door. She's like, honey, you got your stuff? You got your package ready? You know, and the package is, you know, my accessories. No,
honey, we call it supplies.
Yeah, supplies. You know, you got my supply. And those are my accessories so that we know if we're going to be out for a while, I'm going to have to do like Superman. I'm going to have to find a phone booth somewhere and go in and make a quick change to that. So, you know, in talking to some of my friends, we kind of laughed about that. The other thing too is like, okay, I'm going to Walgreens, all right, to pick up my quote supplies. And at first, I'm not going to lie to you, it's a little uncomfortable picking up a box of Depends, all right? It's like, so in my mind, I'm going like, okay, this is for my dad, okay? That's how I did it. You know, people don't know. I'm like, this is not for me. It's for my dad. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, you're going to go there and you're going to be in some uncomfortable situations and you're just going to have to learn how to get comfortable with it in your own way. Another thing that Shay mentioned that brought to my mind was testing. I was going, as we mentioned in the opening, every 6 months for my PSA test. PSA, what is that? And I'm not a doctor, but I will tell you it stands for prostate-specific antigen. And the way they do it is they take a blood sample, and they can tell by the level of PSA in your blood whether, you know, your prostate is troublesome, okay, and in terms of potentially cancer going on there. And so that's what made this so shocking to us, is that I was going every 6 months really regularly to get my PSA level tested. And it was always great. It was always great. It was consistently low. And then all of a sudden, bam, you know, it was up like 15%. And we're like, wow, what's going on? So the doctor said, you know, let's keep an eye on that. And the next, I think we went in 4 months after that. We didn't wait to 6 months. It was up 17% over the 15%. And that's when we decided to do the biopsy. And that's when we got the news. So my point here is that, guys, you must go regularly for your PSA tests. That's one of the things that they say is good. And the bottom line of that is that that probably saved me from having a more serious diagnosis because it was caught. It was caught early. And so when we have, we are going to have my surgeon on to talk about some of the things that you look for and what are some of the signs are and what some of the things are that you should be aware. So we just wanted to give you, an overview of our journey to tell you how this is affecting our lives.
Okay, honey, like you mentioned, our lives are not 100% back to normal, but they're pretty much there. So again, like your journey can be, a couple weeks. It could be, a couple of months or even a little bit longer, but it's light at the end of the tunnel. The sun will come out again. It's just not, in most cases, the end of the world. And we want to give you guys hope. We want to let you know that you can get through it, that you pretty much can have a normal life. That's El's surgeon. That's what he told him. He's like, he was just very, as doctors are, very matter of fact, with El's diagnosis, and said, you'll be fine. I can't guarantee you how long it's going to take you to get back to normal, but you will get back to normal. And so we're just fortunate and we're just excited and blessed that, we had the outcome. And we're just hoping that everyone that's listening, that we can be a ray of, sunshine for you with your journey. Whether it's a guy that's listening or if it's a couple that's listening, things will be okay.
Great. And that's the other thing, too, that we want to offer you. One of the words that we used earlier in the podcast was community. We want to create a community because we really don't know that there's any other source or place where you can go to interact with people who are facing this challenge, like you are, or like someone that, a loved one in your family may be facing. So, the thing that's different and what we want to offer here is an opportunity for you to share your story, any questions that you have, your feelings, your concerns, whether it's a good story, the great outcome that we've experienced. This is a place where you can come to ask your questions, to make your comments, a place where we can interact with each other and just create a supportive community. And what we want you to do is to email us. You can either write us an email or you can videotape a question or a comment because we want to hear from you. And what we'll do is we will take some of your comments if you want us to. We can take some of your comments and some of your questions or any other issues that you want to bring out, and we will make them a part of our broadcast so that you will have an opportunity to not only hear from us, but to hear from other people who are going through this or considering going through it or any questions at all having to do with prostate surgery.
Our journey may not be your journey, as El mentioned. So some journeys are going to be better than ours, and some may be even a little bit worse. But again, we're the place that we want you to come to. This is a judgment-free. We're not judging. We're just all here. We're going to actually have a surgeon. We're going to have counselors on Prostate Cancer Real Talk. Tune in and keep listening. We're going to, give you great information on a weekly basis.
Our email, you can reach us, L and Shay at prostatecancerrealtalk.com. That's E-L and Shay, S-H-A-Y, at prostatecancerrealtalk.com. Yeah, I'm the producer here. I'm Dennis. How's it going, everybody? Thank you for listening to our first episode here. You're kind of getting the layout of what we're going to be talking about on the program. And, when you approached me about doing the show, I was very fascinated by it because it's something that, you never really think about. You get your diagnosis or whatever from the doctor, and then you're kind of left on your own. And these things that we're going to discuss, like you were saying, having to go buy diapers for the first time, things like that.
Depends.
Oh, depends. I'm so sorry.
Depends, Dennis.
Depends. depends. I'm so sorry. And if I could, I just kind of want to go back to that moment when you first found out, Elle. I would assume that, you know, you find out and probably the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah, right. That can't be me, right? And I'm sure you maybe like went online and became like a self-doctor for a few moments, right? What was your experience when you first found out? You're probably in disbelief.
Yeah, and that's so accurate. Exactly what you said, Dennis. The first thing was the elevated PSA level. And I'm like, wow. And even my doctor that I was going to a clinic at that time, because it was just closer to my house for this PSA test. And he even said, you know, wow. I remember the look on his face. His brow was furrowed. And he said, wow. He said, your levels are up. And he said, you know, well, I don't think that's anything. We'll check it in a few months and see. And I, again, remember the look on his face when he saw that second test, which was like 15% higher than the 17% that was initially higher. And I remember the look of concern on his face. And he said, well, I don't think you have prostate cancer. We need to do a biopsy. And that was when I decided to go to the surgeon at Northwestern Hospital here in the Chicago area that we will have Dr. Candu on in a couple of weeks, I think. But, you know, he shared the tests with me. And of course, you know, we become doctors now. And we really look online, like you said, searching for reasons why this can't be true. And, you know, when they've got these different tests that they do and there's different scales, and I saw my results on the scale, and the scale said that it was of concern. And so I kind of looked and looked and looked and looked, and I waited. I did not tell Shay because I didn't want to worry her. So I didn't tell her initially. And I went through the whole process of like, wow, this could be happening to me. Can this really be happening to me? And I thought about, you know, talk to myself, you know, you work out, you get your tests, you drink your water, you don't eat a lot of red meat, you don't, you know, do this. And it's like all these thoughts coming to my mind about why this should not be happening to me. And also, you know, I'm familiar with some of the symptoms. And for me, I didn't have a lot of those symptoms. So again, I went through this whole mental battle about why this can't be happening to me and looking for reasons why these test results aren't what they actually say that they are. And then, so the actual moment when I decided that, okay, this is real, I'm going to go get a biopsy. And then when the biopsy came back and it was positive for prostate cancer, I'm like, wow. I have to tell my wife. But one of the things that really helped me through the process was how calm and positive Shay was. She never overreacted. She never reacted emotionally. She just handled this like she does everything, and she's a warrior. And she just said, you know, we'll handle this together. And so I bought up my nerve, you know, built up my nerve, and I went and I talked to her. And Shay, I'm going to ask you, you know, when I told you that this was happening, what was your feeling and what was your response?
Well, of course, immediately it was disbelief, shock. I actually just didn't believe it. I was like, there is something wrong with the test results. I don't trust them. They need to like retest you. And even when we went to meet with the surgeon, I said, I am skeptical about these results. Like, can you retest him? Can you give him another biopsy? And of course, the surgeon explained to me, you know, the downfalls of doing another biopsy if it comes back positive, and I think he said, and then if you end up having to have the surgery, you just don't want to do that. But he's like, trust me that, you know, the test results are extremely accurate, because I was like coming up with like, can I take him home and give him garlic for a month? You know,
that's our answer to everything. Garlic. Okay.
I was like,
from headache to broken leg, you broke your leg, she's going to give you garlic. Okay?
Right. You're just looking for those home remedies or something, right?
That's the go-to remedy, garlic.
Yeah. I was not believing it.
Your hair falling out, she's going to give you garlic.
I was like, I don't believe it. No, please. Give us a month. I'm just going to go and I'm going to feed him garlic, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he assured me, he's like, I understand what you're saying. And I know this is a shocker for you, but garlic is not going to help at this point. He definitely has prostate cancer. So yeah, there were certain phases that I had to go from, you know, like, you know, shocker, you know, from totally being in shock to disbelief to like acceptance. And then, you know, once I got to that level of, okay, this is real, you know, I got to accept the fact that he has prostate cancer. Then kind of, as Elle mentioned, then I kind of went into the warrior mode, like, okay, let's do this like we do everything else and you'll be fine. So that's how I handled that.
I'm sure everybody has that initial reaction when it happens. You know what I mean? I'm not sure what it is about the human brain that makes you do that. But yeah, I'm sure that's something everybody can relate with. You know, like, oh, me? No way it's going to happen to me. Let me look online here. Get this garlic recipe, right?
Yeah, right.
Very interesting.
And the other thing, too, I just like when you do tell whoever you're going to tell, your friends or whatnot, this very positive and affirmative attitude that Shay has, that was not the same with a lot of the friends or some of the friends that I told. I haven't told that many people, but I guess they're going to find out now. You know, I remember I told one of my guys' friends, I mean, this dude started crying, okay? I mean, when I told him, and it's like, hold on, man, I told you that the story has a good ending. When I told him, I said, man, I got something I want to tell you, or something I have to tell you, you know, I want to share with you because, you know, we're good friends. And I told him that I didn't tell him until I was out of surgery, recovering, had gone back to the doctor and had a good report. The doctor said, you know, everything had cleared up. There was no further signs of cancer. All that was done, and I told him, and he still got emotional, okay? So we're going to have Dr. Francis, his name, he's a counselor. We're going to have him on, and he's going to talk about some of the more social implications and how you talk to your family and what happens emotionally when you go through this. And so we're going to explore that aspect of the diagnosis as well. So it's just a lot. It's a lot for you to deal with. And that's why we're doing this podcast, because where else are you going to go and have this kind of conversation with other people who are sharing the same experience?
Okay. Again, everyone, thanks so much for listening to our very first episode of Prostate Cancer Real Talk. We're going to have more great things coming to you in the future. So keep listening, keep watching out. It's going to be awesome. Thanks again for listening. Prostate Cancer Real Talk with Elle and Shay.
If you would like to reach out to Prostate Cancer Real Talk, send us an email, landshay@prostatecancerrealtalk.com. That's ELANDSHAY, landshay@prostatecancerrealtalk.com. We hope you'll join us next time.